Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Last week, Ryan spoke about patience. And really, you can't think of anybody better than Ryan to speak about patience. So, you know, Ryan's got three little ones, and Ryan and Katrina are probably the epitome, in my view, of patience. They are an awesome couple. So, I wasn't here, but I was able to listen to the podcast and hear Ryan talk about patience. Isn't it true that patience is something that we all understand? We may not always be good at it, but we understand patience. We have had to be patient ourselves, driving along on the number one, and somebody is, you know, doing what they ought not to do. Patience is a good thing for us. And, you know, lo and behold, maybe we've done the wrong thing and we've cut somebody off and we expect somebody to be patient with us. So patience goes both ways. It is something in us to be cultivated, isn't it? And we really pray that God will help us as we go through that. I think one of the points that Ryan made that was, I think, important for us, and I was just actually talking with someone about this at the break, is that he also said that we need to learn to be patient with ourselves. Isn't that great? Because sometimes we can be the least patient with ourselves than anybody. And so we need to have that. So patience, it is a fruit of the Spirit. God is patient. Are you not thankful that God is patient? Do you think that maybe if he wasn't so patient that none of us would be here? God is the epitome of patience, isn't he? And so when we look at patience and we consider that fruit rising up in us, it is something that we desire. And as we walk with the Spirit of God, that will come upon us. It's something that we all have to engage with, but patience can be ours. So thanks, Ryan, for good teaching last Sunday. It's great. So today we are talking about the next fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. Kindness. So if you have your Bible with you, would you turn to the Gospel of Luke? And you can look at chapter 5. We're going to be beginning at verse 17. This is a great account. I love it. So here it is. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles, and then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home, praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." Well, you know, one of the amazing things that they saw that day was the kindness of Jesus. Because, you know, when you think about it, his response legitimately could have been something quite different from what it was. First of all, these guys were jumping the queue. There were lots of people pressing in to see Jesus, lots of people wanting healing. These guys were kind of bumping ahead of the line, in a sense. They were jumping the queue. Second, it would seem clear, the way the scripture is written, that there was some interruption to Jesus' ministry time. He was busy with others, and so that busyness would have been interrupted by them lowering the fellow down. And the way that the scripture describes it, the hole that was cut was over Jesus' head, and they would have been lowering him down. And so you can imagine, in the removing of the tiles and the cutting and all of that sort of stuff, don't you just think maybe some building material was falling on the Lord's head? I suspect so. And so that, you know, could be a problem. And then there's the whole question about, like, who's going to pay for this? really, who's going to pay for all of this damage? But we note in Scripture that Jesus' response reflected none of these things. None of them. Instead, he showed kindness to the man who was broken. He first forgave him, and then he healed him. You know, as is the case with all of the fruit of the Spirit that we're looking at this summer, kindness is this incredible characteristic of God our Father. And it's a characteristic that was evident right from the very beginning of time, as it's recorded in Genesis. Even in their rebellion and their new brokenness, God was kind to Adam and Eve. He saw their shame after their sin, and in his kindness, he provided them with a covering better than what they had come up with themselves. And in his kindness to the people of Israel, he lifted the yoke of Egyptian slavery. And in his kindness, when they were out in the desert, he gave them water and manna and quail. And in his kindness, he offered the people of Israel protection from their enemies. As was the case with Jesus and the drop-in paralytic, God has responded kindly to his creation right from the very beginning. Kindness is a strong characteristic of our God. I want you to listen to how David describes God's kindness in Psalm 103. It's a beautiful psalm. And I'm going to shake it up a little bit and just read it from the Message, which is a paraphrase. But I think it really will help us to see the picture of kindness. Psalm 103, I'm going to begin at verse 6. God makes everything come out right. He puts victims back on their feet. He showed Moses how he went about his work, opened up his plans to all Israel. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He is rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as the sunrise is from the sunset, he has separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside out, keeps in mind that we're made of mud. Wow, that's an amazing picture of kindness. That's an amazing picture of God's kindness to us. In the New Testament, the Greek word for kindness is Christotes. And the meaning of Christotes is very close to goodness, and actually has been described, kindness has been described as goodness in action. And in the New Testament particularly, it's used to describe the compassion of God and his loving favor that he shows his people, Christotes. God is goodness in action. God is goodness in action. That is his kindness to us. Well, we know that the ultimate expression of that compassion and that loving favor, that kindness, was God sending Jesus to us as a remedy for our brokenness, for your brokenness and for my brokenness. This is what it says in Titus chapter 3, verse 4. When God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. See, there was no greater kindness bestowed upon man than Jesus. No greater kindness. And perhaps for us to have the best understanding of kindness, which is goodness in action, is for us to consider our own salvation story, how God has intervened in our lives, knowing our condition, and the inevitable outcome of our broken humanity, our sinfulness. God provides in his kindness the ultimate answer. It's through his great grace and his mercy that he provides for our redemption through Jesus and the cross. That is goodness in action. As undeserved as it was, it is goodness in action. And that points to an important truth for us to consider this morning as we consider practical application of all of this. This is the truth. Kindness begins with seeing a need and then finds its way to a practical expression. Kindness begins with seeing a need and then finds its way to a practical expression. See, more than anyone else, God saw and understood our need, and He knew what it would take to save us. And He sent His Son Jesus. And similarly, when the paralytic was lowered in front of Jesus, he immediately saw his real need. And then he moved into action. He both forgave the man's sins and he healed him. Well, was it convenient? Well, not really. Not really. Were there many reasons that he could have said no? Probably. But all of that was trumped because he loved him. Because Jesus saw the need that was presented in that man, and then he met that need. Something else I think is true of kindness is that kindness, as Jesus has shown us, often requires a degree of sacrifice on our part. I want you to watch this video, which I think really illustrates the point well.
Oh, look at that young Brewers fan. Now, wait a minute. Did he get?
No.
Oh, boy.
He is sour. He is sour. The Diamondback fan got it. And not the Brewer fan. Well. No. Oh, he's bummed
out.
Are
you kidding me? This kid's going to do this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is big time.
Oh, my goodness.
What a nice young man.
Well, he's got a Diamondback hat. We have to get something for that kid in the red.
We got to do something for the kid in the red. Something for the kid in the red. That's the opposite of that lady in Houston.
I can't believe I just witnessed that.
That is awesome.
You young men are awesome.
All
right. Okay. So this is such a great illustration of sacrifice and of kindness. Did you hear he talked about that? He said, well, that's a lot better than that woman in Houston. Yeah, because she took the ball from a kid.
And so this is just an opposite response altogether. Isn't this a wonderful picture? Here is this young boy, he's 12 years old, and you know, he's so excited, he gets the ball, he runs up, he's got it, and he's so excited, and he turns around, and did you see the look in his face when he saw the young boy who was so upset? He saw the need, and it brought him to action, and I love that story. I think that it really is a great illustration for us in terms of seeing the need and then following it with action. See, Jesus saw the need of the paralyzed man, as I said, and he took action to meet his needs. God the Father saw the need of our humanity, and he took action to save us. This little guy does it in the stands with the Diamondbacks, and this is a wonderful act of kindness. It is goodness in action. It is goodness in action. And when you think about it, the absence of either seeing the need or taking the action to meet the need, really it renders the whole notion of kindness meaningless. Meaning you can't have one without the other. You have to have both. You see, seeing a need without taking action is uncaring at best, and is often motivated by our own self-centeredness. While taking action without understanding the need can be an empty undertaking, motivated maybe by a desire to be noticed or even to try to meet the expectations of others. Kindness requires a heart that puts both of those pieces together. It sees the need, and that seeing motivates a caring response to meet the need. We've said before, kindness, along with the rest of the fruit of the Spirit, forms in us as we draw closer to Jesus and as we walk in the Spirit. But like anything else, its growth requires our active engagement with the Spirit of God. We have to be actively engaged with the Spirit. And what I mean by that is this: we need to ask the Holy Spirit to cultivate in our hearts the ability to see, the ability to see the need that is around us and to cultivate in us the empowerment for us to go and answer that need as he would anticipate us to do. See, we've allowed our eyes and our hearts to close to seeing the need of those who are around us, we really do need to ask the Lord to take that blindness away. If we are too afraid to reach out in kindness and do something maybe surprising, we need to ask God to help us, to empower us, to take the action that we ought to take. Because if we don't, we're missing opportunities, great, wonderful opportunities to be the hands and the feet of Christ. If we're slow to take action, we need to ask God to help us so that we can become an active people and engage in the kindness that wells up in us. See, our engaging with the Spirit of God will mean his kind work will be accomplished through us, and another is loved, whether we do something small or whether we do something great. And it will also mean that we grow in him because we become more like him. The heart of the Father is kindness, and the more we emulate that, the more we become like him. The fact of the matter is, and we all know this, there are tons of opportunities for us to be kind. And to be honest, I think that we miss many of them. I know that I do. We miss them because we're focused on our tasks. We miss them because we think somebody else is going to take care of it. We miss them because they pose an inconvenience to us, or there's some kind of potential mess that can happen as a result. And so sometimes we just miss opportunities to be kind, as Jesus would call us to be kind. As I said, some of those opportunities may require much from us. They may require sacrifice, giving something up. And others will be very small indeed, but they will speak of love for another. To the point of missing an obvious opportunity to be kind came very clear to me a couple of weeks ago. Lynn and I were going to save on foods. We were going to do some shopping, and it was just at the point when the monsoon season was upon us for like weeks and weeks and weeks. And so we were in the car, and it was just pouring down with rain. I mean, we were just getting drenched. And so Linda had a small umbrella, and so like a man, I'm focused on where we're heading. And that is like to get to Savon quickly and keep as dry as we possibly can. So I am focused, and I am going, and Linda's running with her umbrella, and we're moving there, and I get into the store and think, well, I did that probably less than 10 seconds, feeling pretty good about myself here. Linda's not there. Wow, that was pretty cool. I'm looking all over. Well, here she is. She's standing next to this elderly lady who had been standing underneath the tarp at Savon Foods just looking at the rain coming down. She had these heavy bags, and you could see that she was just wondering about whether or not she was going to make it to her car or not, whether she should try to get to her car in the pouring rain. It was such a sad thing. I completely missed it. But not my wife. She's over there. She's got her arm around her, and she's convincing her to let her walk her to the car holding the umbrella over her. And that's exactly what she does. She takes her through the pouring rain that's just coming down in buckets. She gets into the car, and I'm in the store going, oh, man, I didn't There was this missed opportunity, man. I missed it big time. Linda did the same thing, and I don't know what it is about Savon. There's an older fellow a few months ago, and he was walking with these groceries, and it was a hot, hot day. It was the reverse of what we've come from. And I just go bustling in the store. I'm doing the shopping, and she's gone, like for a half an hour. Well, you know, being worried as a husband, I should have been. She's not here. It's been a while. And she actually walked with this man home, carrying his groceries for him in the heat. It was another missed opportunity. My wife teaches me well. Maybe it's because of the active quality of the fruit of kindness, the potential of kindness to positively influence the lives of others. Because that active quality, the opportunity is extremely high for us to influence people, it's important for us to do that, to have our eyes open and to see and then to act. You know, our culture celebrates and it recognizes kindness to others. That video is a good example. You know, there was a great cheering on of this young 12-year-old. He actually, that next night, got to throw the ball out in the next ball game. And they brought him up to the announcer's studio, and they gave him a hat and a jacket and a bat and all of those things. It was totally unexpected. He didn't do it because of that. He knew nothing about that sort of thing. But our society, we love to see people being kind to one another. And we talk about that because it is something that really, I think, it's something that we know about. It's a language that we understand. Because when people have been kind to us, it is spoken to our hearts. And when we've been kind to others, we know the result of that. So kindness is a powerful, powerful language. It can break down barriers. It can initiate relationships. It can change lives when we are kind. Each time we are kind on behalf of Jesus, something shifts. Something changes in us and in those around us. Albert Schweitzer said this of kindness. He said, "Constant kindness can accomplish much. As the sun makes ice melt, kindness causes misunderstanding, mistrust, and hostility to evaporate." Not a bad thought for us as Christians in this culture. Kindness speaks. It's a strong, strong, strong language. Now, I want to explain what's going to happen next because it's a little different than what we usually do. You know, I'm working through this message this week, and I'm thinking this message has to be about more than just words. It's got to be about more than just seeing. There has to be action. That's really what we need to do. That's what the fruit of kindness is all about. It's goodness in action. It wouldn't be right for us to stand here and talk about fruit. It wouldn't be right for you to go and have lunch and talk about the fruit of kindness and then go home and have a nap. That wouldn't be right. Because seeing is one thing, but the action is the other. The two go together. And so we need to make it go together today. So here's our trajectory. I'm going to give you a gift this morning. And it is the gift of 10 minutes. It's the gift of 10 minutes. Now, it is not 10 minutes for you to have for yourself. It is 10 minutes for you to give away sometime today. What I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to be kind to someone. I'm going to ask you to take that 10 minutes to bank it. You don't need to use it right now. But I've arranged this already with Children's Ministries. Your kids are going to be ready 10 minutes early. And I want you to bank that 10 minutes. Go and do what you're going to do lunch or whatever. But take that 10 minutes at some point today and be kind to someone. I figure if there's maybe about 125 of us in this room, that would be 1,250 minutes of kindness to spread about our community. So we need to see, but we need to act. So let me just give you some rules here. Here's some of the rules. The gift of 10 minutes. Number one, whatever you do, it needs to happen outside of these walls. We just obviously should be kind to one another. That's like we're Christians. And they will know us by our love. So we need to begin. So don't do it here. Be kind to one another here. Don't use the 10 minutes here, okay? So that's rule number one. Number two. Pray and ask God to help you see a need. I said that earlier. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. We need to engage with the Spirit. And so today, pray. Pray as a family. Do this together as a family if you have family with you. Pray and ask God to show you today a need, to show you how you can help. Okay? Pray and ask God. And then not only to see the need, but ask God for the strength to carry out the action that is required. Now, I think for some of you, it's going to be an easy thing. I think for others, it's going to be difficult. I think today, God is going to ask somebody in our community to do something very difficult. I really could. But it will be a wonderful teaching moment and a learning moment for us. So, pray. Pray to ask to see the need. Pray for the ability to meet it. Okay, next. Find some level of sacrifice in meeting the need. Think of the young lad who gave up the baseball, okay? So, give something away. Maybe it's something that is really critically important to you, but give it away. Give something away. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's buying somebody coffee or like whatever it happens to be. But give something away. Allow there to be a level of sacrifice. Okay? Don't let it be easy for you. Okay? Break away from your fears. So if God says to you, approach this person and give them, or approach this person and ask them to come to whatever, to break your fears. Like, the first thing you hear is a voice saying inside, don't do this. This is going to be hard for you. This is going to be embarrassing. You will probably reject it. Just reject those fears in the name of Jesus. Get rid of them, okay? Just so you can be free from that. Go a notch or two above comfortable, okay? Now, you, maybe like us, you've gone to Tim Hortons. We've done the thing. You buy the coffee for the people behind, okay? And to be honest, maybe you're like me. You check first if they're buying coffee or a whole lunch. So, go a notch or two above comfortable. Take a risk. If you're in front of a van and it's got 15 kids in it, take the risk. God will meet you there. He will bless you. Okay, next point. Expect nothing in return. Expect nothing in return. We don't do these things to get the baseball bat or the jacket or whatever. Expect nothing in return. Just that we have an opportunity to be kind to one who we need to be kind to. And the last point is this. Tell no one. Tell no one. I mean, if you do it as a family, obviously do it as a family together, but don't go to somebody and say, ha! Big! Unbelievable! Was I? Here's the exception to the rule, okay? I think there's value in sharing stories. So, if today, you have to do this by midnight. Did I say that part? By midnight. If today, you do this, no, really, because if I don't put a thing, it'll just get lost. Midnight. So, here's the deal. If there's something significant that happens in you as a result of this, or you see that happening to another, I'd like you to email me. dsmith@lwchurch.ca. You can find it on the website. Email me. We would love to share a couple of stories next week, but we won't identify anybody. But if there's something that happens in you or with someone else, please let me know. dsmith@lwchurch.ca. Yes, please.
Do you mean, when you talk about the walls of the church, do you mean the physical walls and the metaphorical walls of this community?
No, I mean the walls of this church. Yes, I mean, do not be kind on this property. Give me those 10 minutes. Thanks for the clarification. This week, next week, I don't know. It's all okay, is everybody good with that? Stand up, because I don't want to lose your 10 minutes. So, and we started 7 minutes late this morning, so actually you're getting 17. Father, thank you for your kindness to us. Oh, God. You have been so kind and so rich to us in that kindness. And Lord, today, as we would step out in this, help us, Lord, to do this well, to pray, oh God, to hear your voice, and to be kind to someone. I pray today, Lord, that as we would, as a whole community, this service and next service, step out and be kind, that there would be things that would happen in the heavenlies, God, and things would happen in our hearts and the hearts of those that we serve. Oh God, help us today to be kind. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Go out. Be kind. 10 minutes. The gift is yours. Starting out.